Turn with me this morning back to the 57th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The scripture here has caught my attention a lot of times. Somehow it just jumps out at me. Said the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth to heart. Merciful men are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. I thought on this, and it seems like in the providence of God, He does this quite often. We look back through the scripture and we see that quite often the Lord took His people out of the way, and not so much out of the way but to chastise the people that was left. Gone through a great drought when He takes these people out of the way and nobody to proclaim the gospel. And that is, I believe, the worst kind of chastisement, when the Lord shuts up and He doesn't have anything to say to the people anymore, then they're in great peril. I find, though, it seems like especially in our day, when these things happen, the modern term is all well. Oh, well, it's just one of those things. We just kind of mark it off and not take into consideration that God is perfectly in control of all things. And all these things happen for the good of those that love the Lord. It is never by chance or by accident. We use accident pretty regularly. It's an accident. But it's all in the providence of God. I thought about over in Jeremiah's days, he was sent to preach to the people. And he warned them that when they get fat and they go astray, the Lord is going to take away the gospel. Some people say, well, it wasn't the gospel, it's something else, but it's all gospel. That's another problem we have, is try to identify the Old Testament and New Testament differently. But it's all the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the 5th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, things got pretty tough. Lord's about to bring punishment upon Israel. And said, verse 1 said, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth justice and judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it, Jerusalem. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. And surely it's a picture of our day. You know, the scripture doesn't ever get old. It's brand new news every time you open it up. It's brand new news. It's always a warning, a curse, or a blessing. It depends on what the attitude of the person is. Talking about people being taken out and no one takes it to heart. I thought when I read this again, out on one of the old country western singers got the song, and he's talking about the country singers being taken out, and he said, who's going to fill their shoes? Well, I think he got a little better attitude than people had here. They just say, oh, well, don't have any worry about it. They don't take it to heart. They don't take it to heart that all these things are happening in the providence of God, whether it be taking people out of this world, out of the miseries of this world, or whether it be leaving him in. Sometimes we have a problem with that ourselves, is thinking, well, you know, good things happen and and it's some kind of physical, financial, or some other kind of what we call a blessing. The providence of God works both ways. They say the pendulum swings both ways, from one extreme to the other. But the extremes are not with God. The extremes are with mankind. So God deals with man as he wills and as it is needful for man. And his providence is always at work according to his mercy and judgment. One always follows the other. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and verse 11, he said, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Well, he got sense enough to go out and check the sun out. Yeah, it's there. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Know God. Know that all these things happen by providence of God. He's always at work. And then he said, consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider this. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should not find nothing after him. And isn't that so true? Everything one is set over against the other. Everything. People more than anything else. It seemed like they're always one against the other. Always in turmoil. And yet, it's all in the providence of God. We fret sometimes and we worry sometimes and we look at these things and we wonder until we consider the providence of God. And that's what he's talking about here. Consider these things. They're all around us. They're all, every day we see a new revelation. Not in the sense that God sent a new word, but in the sense that our knowledge is increased day by day. And not only we that would claim the name of the Lord, but the world also knows these things. That's where insurance got started. They're not ignorant of this. And they say, well, why is it the Lord took a good man out and left this other one? Well, we don't know. And maybe what they thought was a good man wasn't a good man after all. Yeah, well, that's true. It was a blessing. Lord's providence is always at work. And then verse 15 said, "And all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness." He dies the same. Goes to his long home. And there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Well, he stored up more stuff. Wasn't going to starve to death. He thought he was being wise also. And he was for a while. Until the Lord took him out also. These things are all in the providence of God, and I wonder why we wonder. But you know, we're not inexcusable either. We have times we question God also. Why did you take that man? Well, in the next verse, he kind of answered that in 57th chapter back there. He said, "He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." Well, it's almost like he's still going, but he's not. He's at rest. Lord has taken him out of all this wondering stuff. And give him this assurance, this rest, this blessed rest that man's always looking for and can't find. Because he keeps looking in wrong places. And his faith is weak. His faith is weak. That's another thing about faith. Man's faith just comes and goes just like that. It's on and it's off, on and off. Why did the Lord do this? Well, he done it for the good of his people. He takes away. And sometime he gives. And once again, why do we wonder? We watch the old news on the TV, and we bet it's worse than me getting upset with them, but we both get upset. See, they'll not do that. But then I think again, I say, well, we ought to just be patient. Lord is at work. But he's at rest, but he's still walking in his uprightness. That's life forevermore. He's still living. But he's at rest until all things be complete. So he's taking him out to save him, and he's also taking him out that he might chastise people. That's what he done in Jeremiah's days we just read over there. That's what it was working up to. It got down to where they couldn't find not one soul that was standing up for the Lord, because the Lord had taken them out. Wasn't any left. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterers and the whore, against whom do you sport yourselves? Well, now he's going to give them a little raking over. Who y'all think you against? Or who is it you're wondering about? This one is always right. Will he not do all things well? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of the transgression, a seed of the falsehood? Of Canaan, your father's an Amorite, your mother is a Hittite. Isn't that your very nature? Isn't that what you do? Outside of God? Inflame yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks. Evergreen tree makes me think of all these pretty churches we've got. That's what that is. You got a nice green tree to get under. It's a big, big, shady one. Keep the heat off of you. That's what they think. But it's drawing the heat to it. Slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks and among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. Well, they worship anything. Take a few stones and stack them up, and this is our marker right here. This mine. And we're going to defend it to the bitter end. This is mine. This, there's my marker. I built it. And we're going to worship it. You know what I thought about when I read this one time before I come here and I was reading it, and there was some kind of something going on that everywhere I looked, there was a pickup full of wood crosses. I don't know what all that was about, really. But they was selling them and giving them away, and you'd see them propped up on the doors and all kinds of stuff. And I was thinking, what are they worshiping? Them old board crosses? People will worship anything. They think they're doing good. And certainly the cross has its place. I don't belittle it a bit. But if you think nailing up old wood cross out in front yard going to do you something. But I think they're worshiping them things. You ever notice that they'll go around, they got this big old Bible on the dash of the car. You know what they're doing? Worshiping that thing. A book. Yeah, a bunch of smooth stones. Just gather you up some of them and worship that. That's going to be your portion. But the Lord's people, their portion is the Lord. they have, and they are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Now hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these, saith God? Should I pay any attention at all to your little old servant? I'm in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I'm in down in the sixth verse now. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behold, the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another, not to the Lord, to another. What Ezekiel said, they've set up their post over next to mine. Built a door over next to mine. Ezekiel 43. Yeah, they've set up something that looks kind of like it. And they go to that rather than go in the other door, which is Lord himself. He's the door, the proper one. But they just set something up, looks kind of like it. Got some old smooth stones and built them something. And they called it God. But gods, there are many. But there's only one true God. And he's found in all of his activity in governing every single thing in this world. And we have to ask ourselves again, and why do we wonder? He said, why? You discovered thyself unto another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment. Oh, things are getting tough. We better go get us some help. We're going to go to the top. We'll go see the king. And didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst abase thyself even unto hell. And thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. They working hard at it, building up a stone altar, smooth stone. And the Lord said, don't build one like that. Get you some old square blocks and set them up there. Build the ground up. I don't want to chisel on it. I don't want man messing with it. I just want it stacked up there. I don't want all your wisdom involved in it. We want this thing to be spiritual and not of man. When you go up to worship, cover your nakedness. They were fully open here. You've made yourself known by your doing. And the Lord has made himself known by his doing. All things work together to good. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou, there's no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me or laid it to thy heart? Isn't that where we begin? You didn't take it to heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? Well, he didn't take it to heart. Lord puts men in, Lord takes men out. And we don't take it hard. But it's all by the Lord's providence. He takes some out and he puts some in. But it's all for his sake. Oftentimes men get confused and they think all these things are for their sake. But no, it's all for the glory of God alone.
Amazing how often God does instruct us and we don't want it that way. We've got other plans. I still marvel at how we try to prolong our lives. But what for? And don't get me wrong, I think we certainly don't want to shorten our lives in the sense of suicide and that type of thing, tempting God, but what is the point of living a long life, especially in the day of the judgment of God? But you know what? I'm afraid that most people fear death more than they fear God. Well, they say they don't. But do they not really? They don't believe him, that's for sure. But you know, we've talked about that before. Is there anything really as a true atheist? There are true reprobates. And there are those whose consciences are seared over. They couldn't care less. No. It's a dead conscience. But what I'm talking about is simply this, that, you know, as we just read in Isaiah 57, and JT said, talk about how that stood out to him before, and has to me a lot of times. It has been it's been a very blessed scripture to me. And I think of myself, you know, would not it be a blessing for God to take us away today? But if he did, how many people would be benefited by that? Probably none. Who's going to take it to heart? Well, just one more died and got them out of the way, and now we just go on with life. We have a few minutes at the funeral service and at the church house, and then a few minutes down at the graveside, and we'll walk away, and that'll be it. We'll go on with our life, and everything will be fine, especially if they left us something to further our lust and other flesh. But we preach the word, and who cares? In the 11th chapter of the Revelation, when those two witnesses are killed, what happens? Boy, yeah, they have a great big party. Glad that those witnesses are dead. Why? Just tormenting them. Now they're gone. They're out of the way. And now we can go on about our lives. Again, going back to Amos. Amos, go on over yonder and prophesy in Judah. Take care of your own business over there and leave us alone. We're perfectly happy the way we are. But it's an amazing thing. But in our day, why do we think it is that there are so few true Christians? Is not that a good indicator of where we are in the history of the world, in the history of the church? Sir?
Answer the question, why are we here? Because he is God.
Yeah.
It does good things.
And it's, that's right. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. If we believe that, only God's people. Only.
That's the great divide. That's the great reason. If you believe it, it's because you belong to God.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus said to that man, your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
Because God, along with his grace, gave you that faith.
Yeah.
Not of works, but of grace.
That's right.
So that's the first one. I talk about faith and those things like that. God doesn't give you faith so you can't believe. He gives you faith because he's guilty.
Yeah.
That's the point, is to be exercised. If you have faith, you believe it. If you don't believe it, you have it. That's the
true
struggle. But the thing is, even the struggle, what is it? Strengthened in things to make eternal life and their understanding how deadly the things are of his
faith. Yeah.
And the child of God, those who God, I should fear my voice. I know they follow me. And those who don't, they're weak and they're blind.
That's tired. And there's only two things. Only God in the ultimate end.
Who's going to separate the wicked from the good? I don't believe you will be.
No.
It's going to be God alone. And so, what is it? All things are one.
That's right. They're, and yet we have some measure of discernment.
God, love God, but you know, I'm angry with God.
Yeah.
And who are you to say it? To God? Why do you make me up? Why do you put me here? Why do you put me there? Why do you tell them this? Give them this? I mean, you go to God with a question, why? I would say, why? I mean, he's God. What do you do to be
here? Yeah.
Which one thing to him? And get angry with God or disappointed or downtrodden because he's not working out the way we want to. Just to misunderstand the whole thing. And we do it to this. Then we got a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got a big problem, we sure want to do it all. And he was. And it's a struggle. But there is a life. And there is a struggle. But if the child of God,
well, we know the answer to that. It's a, and
there's lots of things that show that God's judgment is okay. And the fact that we can do that to you. Now, when I was born, and so,
that is true. And one day, God's going to bring it all to a conclusion as far as this world is concerned. And that's the way it was intended and purposed to be from the very beginning. And he had it all figured out, didn't he? He didn't need to ask anybody, and he doesn't need to today. We just need to believe him. And what does it mean to believe him? Well, I believe what the Bible says. Well, that's all well and good, but it's got to be come out instead of just staying in your head. If it just stays in your head, if all you're doing is memorizing verses, then it's not doing you any good. It is a living faith. It's not a dead faith.